Hallelujah. The name is Christ. We commence a class on In the Front Line. So we have only, three classes more, right? Four, including this one, right? Seven, eight, nine, ten. So after tonight, we have only two left, right? So I have to give you some homework, right? Some homework. But it's good homework. It's fun. Right? It's fun. First, right? The thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. Why was he saved without being baptized? That's, you have to do research on that, right? Why was he saved even though he was not baptized? Okay? And you have to write a thorough essay, not an essay, but you know, your thought and use Bible references, right? Second, right? Why people do not know God, right? People do not know God. Cannot be saved. Why do people do not know God cannot be saved? Third. Why do people who are so good, good in life, for example, like Gandhi, right? Or Mother Teresa, right? Why are they cannot be saved? You must use example from the Bible, right? You cannot just write with your own thoughts, but you must have the mind of Christ and write through the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. And fourth, what are the keys to the heavenly kingdom? What are the keys to the heavenly kingdom? Okay? Anybody understand all four? It's simple, right? Most of you who have been in HTS before, you should know the answer, right? Because we go through it so many times already, right? But this should be part of you. So when we go out in the front line, we be able to use God's word to encounter such questions without breaking a sweat, right? This means you're a soldier, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. Okay? Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians. So the four homeworks, you guys okay? Right? No question, no thought on it? Yes, sir. Yes. The length is not important, but make sure it's precise, right? And be able to convince me, right, that you guys know what you're talking about. Right? That's all. Any other question? And any question that's not answered by, you know, any verses in the Bible, we will not accept, right? Okay. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Right? So the helmet of salvation. This is very important. So we mentioned and established earlier that Satan's power is in his head. Right? And his glory is also on his head. So this means what part of the body will attack the most with us is our head. So in other words, we must put on this helmet of salvation. Without this helmet, and then our brain can become very dangerous in the sense that it's very easy to be killed, right? Quite often, if someone gets shot in different parts of the body, right, most likely you can be alive. But if you get shot in the head, right, most likely you're not going to be alive. Only in the movies, right? People get shot in the head and their heart, whatever, they're still alive. This is the movies, right? But in real life, if you get stabbed in the head, and shot in the head, it's hard for you to be alive. So that's why they say the helmet of salvation. In other words, if Satan be able to penetrate your helmet, your head, this means you're a dead dog already, right? That's what it means. So how do we know we are filled with the Word of God? How do we know? How do we know? How do we know we are filled with the Word of God? How do we know? How do we know? Brother, how do we know if we are filled with the Word of God? Right? You always talk about being filled with the Word of God. Be filled with the Word. How do we know? Okay, what about the Holy Spirit? Okay. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, we have to do two things, right? First, we have to be filled with the Word of God, and then we have to be filled with the Spirit of God. But how do we know we are filled with the Word of God? You walk around, all of a sudden you see the Word of God, right, in your body, up and down, right? How do we know? Okay, when we feed ourselves with the Word of God, but how do you know? How do you know you're full? Did you eat lunch this afternoon? No, right? So how would I know you're full or not? There must be some kind of evidence, right? How do we know we're filled with the Word of God or not? So don't just say, I'm filled with the Word of God, I'm filled with the Word of God. But how do we know? Okay, when you encounter Satan, then what? And Satan is scared of you. It's really true, right? This means when you're filled with the Word of God and Satan comes to you, actually, he'd be trembling, I'm telling you. He'd be trembling, right? That's one of the reasons. I shared with some of you already, right? When I first, I'll share the story later. But let me continue my question, right? What else? So besides Satan tremble before you, what else? How do we know it's filled with the Word of God? Your action. Okay, what kind of action do you have when you feel the Word of God? Doing God's will, okay? Doing God. What is God's will? I'll go out and preach the gospel. To love God and love man. Okay? Sisters, how do we know we feel with the Word of God? How do we know? Sister, how do we know we are filled with the Word of God? Make the right decision when you need it to. Okay. Yes. Okay. When you filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but that's being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Word of God. What's that? Not necessary, right? Because some people love to pray, but they don't love to read. Right? But of course, indirectly you are right, right? Because why? Because the Holy Spirit needs to feed on the Word of God, right? But let's go to the Bible. So don't, what I'm saying that when we say, talk about being filled with something, don't just take it just like a saying, right? You must know what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Do you smell better when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? You walk around, all of a sudden you say, hey, man, you smell so good, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Of course not, right? The Bible teaches us, how do we know we are filled with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God? So then we can check ourselves if we are filled with the Word of God or filled with the Spirit of God or not, right? Let's go to John chapter 17. John 17. Is some of the reason... Some of the ways we can tell that our armor is complete, our armor is full. Right? 17:17. John chapter 17 verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. Right? The first way to know that we are filled with the Word of God, that everything we do, the Word of God will sanctify us. What does this mean, sanctify us? Sister, what does it mean to sanctify? Cleanse us. What about doing baptism? Is that sanctify us? It's after baptism, right? Actually, the baptism, what? What does it do? It doesn't sanctify us. It's another word, fire, right, on the end. What is it? Baptism is what? It does not sanctify us. What's that? They purify, okay. Actually, baptism justify us. as sons of God. And Holy Spirit, sanctify us. So in other words here, sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth. So if you are filled with this word of God, you're always going to be sanctified. This means, what do you mean be sanctified? You are separate from the people in the world. That's what it means. This means to set aside. So in other words, test yourself. If you love your worldly friends so much, and you like to do all the things that they do, right? That is when you are not sanctified. I remember one time, right, my wife and I, we had an argument, right? I was in the kitchen with her, and she, I don't know what she was doing, we argued about something, right? And for me, I was so angry, then I wanted to swear at her, right? And I was trying to swear at her, but I couldn't, right? Because the word that came out, it just, and she said to me, "Oh, you want to swear at me, don't you? Right? You want to swear at me?" And say, "But I didn't, right? I didn't, right?" Why? Because when you have God's word in you, God's spirit in you, it's so difficult to do something that is bad. Really, it's like this. So that's why we always quite often ask ourselves, we pray so much, read so much, why nothing happened? And what's the answer? This means we don't read enough and pray enough. That's why. So when the word sanctify, this means to separate us from the people in the world. Their thoughts are not our thoughts. The way they think is way different from us. What they do is not what we do. It means sanctification. Just like when you walk at the airport or something like that, right? How do you know a person is a soldier? How do you know when you walk at the airport and stuff, right? How do you know? Yeah, his uniform, right? So when he put on his uniform, this means he is separate from the people in the world. Right? Just like, how do we know he's a police officer? He has his uniform on, right? So this means he's separated. So for us, the same thing. If every one of us, the children of God, armies in heaven, mingle with the people in the world, how can we say we are filled with God's word? Because this means we are not sanctified. When you're filled with God's word, really you can do so many things. Just like now, your thoughts, right? Thought is so important. When you think about what you're thinking, are you have the same mind as people in the world? If you have the same mind as people in the world, this means the numbers on your head is 666. It's no longer 7. Because why? Because the beast will put those kind of evil thoughts inside our heart and inside our mind. So that's why we feel with the word of God. We put on the helmet of salvation. And there's no way the beast can put any kind of thought inside your head. Why? Because God's word is too powerful. So that's why I talk about sanctification. Think about ourselves. Before we go into the front line, are we sanctified? So that's why I always share with brothers, right? If they want to volunteer to go to Africa, I say, make sure you go, before you go to Africa, make sure you are sanctified, right? Make sure you are clean. Make sure you don't commit any kind of sin. Why? Because in Africa, yes, there's a lot of miracles and signs, but also you can die very easily too, right? You die very easily. There's so many things here, right? You can die from. You can get beat up and killed, right? A snake can come, jump out and bite you, right? It's like this. So nowadays, we're in the battlefield, right? You must know you're in the battlefield. If you're in the battlefield and you mingle with your enemy, sooner or later, they're going to kill you. That's the way it is. But sanctify ourselves. This means especially if it comes to with the mind, right? Listen to Revelation. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 17. Verse 1. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. Verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sit on many waters." Sit on many waters. And who this water represent? What's that? I'm sorry. Cities. Okay. What does water represent exactly? Yes. Verse what? 15. Right, verse 15. This is what water represents, verse 15. Then he said to me, the water which you saw were the holy cities, a people, multitude, nation, and tongue. Who wrestled in school before? Who wrestled? You guys wrestle? Are you wrestling? If you sit on a person, what happened to them? If you sit on them, right? So you say you're pretty skinny, so you can't sit on them, right? Actually, in any kind of wrestling match, right? If you sit on that person, it means you have complete control over them, right? You have control over them. Just like sometime I with Malika, right? You know, she, and I wrestle with her or whatever, right? I just sit on her. That's pretty much it, right? It's done. There's no more wrestling, right? There's no more wrestling, right? So this woman, she sit on many waters. This means she controls all the multitudes, right? The tongue, the nation, and the people. So think about us. Is this woman sitting also on us? Hopefully not. So that's why we must separate ourselves, right? That's why, you know, Pastor Raymond shared with us, right? Come out of her, right? My people. This, in other words, that you must separate yourself. Unless we see all the plagues that God's going to bring upon them. So the first sign of being filled with the Word of God, you be sanctified. Especially your mentality. If people commit sins and they do things that are bad, and you feel that it's okay, this means you have not been sanctified. Just like our friends in school, right? If they're drinking and they get drunk, if they date, they go to nudie bars and things like that, we feel it's okay. So this means your mind has not been sanctified. The same thing with everything. The same thing with everything. So in other words, when God looked at us, He can see us very clearly that we are His soldier. Out of 6 billion people, out of over 300 million people in the United States, when God looked at the 80 of us, He should tell us, can be able to tell very clearly that we are His soldier. But separate ourselves. The way we think and our action, the way we behave ourselves, that's how He knows. And Satan also will know. If we are filled with God's Word, when we walk around, Satan will be shaking his boots, I'm telling you. Because God's Word is so powerful. So be sanctified before we go into the front line. And many of you, praise and thank God, right? At this age, you'll be able to come to NYCI, and so many of you are born in church. By now, right? Your Kung Fu should be so great already, right? Kung Fu in the Bible, right? Your biblical knowledge should be so great already. Why? Because since you are young, right? In RE's and all those kind of places, right? How many seminars you guys went to already since you're young? Many, right? Many. That's why sometimes I feel so envy of you guys, right? Because I didn't start to learn the Bible until I was 27. And most of you are only in your early 20s. Some of you are not even 20 yet, right? By the time you're 40, you will be filled with the Word of God, right? Much more, right, than me. So this means you have a greater chance to be alive, right? To be alive. But take advantage of it, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong to play video games, decent video games, right? Like Pac-Man or something, right? But why just spend so much time, right? No, when I first came to Christ, I got rid of all my TV, everything, right? And all my surround sound and things like that, right? Because for me, I love this kind of stuff, right? But I had to get rid of it. Why? Because I have no self-control. But only until now, like 3-4 months ago, I bought myself a TV, right? And I bought myself some surround sound, right? Why? Because now I know I can control it, right? I'm hardly home anyway, but when I'm home, right? Sometimes throughout the whole week, my TV's not on, right? Even I watch like Animal Planet or something like that, right? But the thing is, those stuff is nothing wrong. But you must have control over it, right? Because we are the king. king, the first thing that we must rule is what? To be a king, right? Where does it say, first, where does it say we are king and prophets? Where? Huh? Where does it say we are king and prophet? What's that? Yeah, it's in Revelation. Yeah, chapter? Revelation chapter? Yeah, chapter 1 verse 6. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. And has made us kings and priests to his God. Right? Revelation chapter 1 verse 6. Right? And I know the Chinese translation say kingdom, right? And also some other versions say kingdom. Kingdom is not accurate translation. But it's king, right? King. As king, who, what we should reign? What is the first thing we reign? King, you must be reign over something, right? Who's the first person you must reign over? Ourself, exactly. As king, the first person we should rule over is ourself. So in other words, if we lack of self-control, then the things that we lack, we should not do it. But you shouldn't play video games like cutting people's head off and pulling their head off, whatever, right? You shouldn't play those kind of video games, right? But there's so many things in the world that God wants us to enjoy. But we must have self-control. Like eating is a blessing from God, right? Really. But we don't eat until we blue in the face every single day, right? We eat to enjoy food, not so big, right? And out of shape, right? Self-control, right? Self-control. Thank God being Asian, quite often we're not too big, right? But our poor brothers and sisters in Hawaii, right? Really, during lunchtime, right? One Tuesday night you have service. We have 9 different kind of desserts. And the first Bible study I went to, right, was on a Monday night Bible study. And then after Bible study, we have dinner, right? Like, dinner is like at 9:30, right? And I couldn't believe it. They brought me a big plate of what? Apple pie, ice cream, pumpkin pie. Like, this is not food, right? But of course, they're also big, right? They're also big, right? Of course. With lunch in Hawaii. Sometimes, what, we have all this kind of chips, this and that, right? Cookies and all that kind of stuff, right? It's still unhealthy, right? But surprisingly, they live for at least 6 years longer than the mainland, right? Why is that? Why do they live longer, even though they're unhealthy? What kind of environment? Huh? Paradise. Why do they live longer? Why do they live longer? What's that? Yes. They have no stress. That's why they live longer. Even though they are so unhealthy and stuff, that's why it's like catch 22, right? You are so happy, no stress, you eat so much, right? Then you get all big, but you have no stress of being big. And then it's fine, right, in that sense, right? I remember one time a brother was looking for a job for a year. He's looking for a job for the whole year. And then finally he found a job, right? And his boss asked him, hey, can you start this Monday? That was a Friday, right? So can you start this Monday? He's like, can I start on Tuesday? Because Monday I got to go play golf with my pastor. That's me, right? And I say, brother, why did you do that, right? You're looking for a job over a year. Now you got a job. You want to start on Monday? You say, no, I want to start on Tuesday. I'll go playing golf. But guess what his boss said? Oh, it's no problem. Yeah, you can come on Tuesday. Right? That's the way it is, right? I don't think anybody ever stressed about school over there. There's no, right? School. Actually, when you graduate from high school, you can have like a 500 people party over there from high school. Yes, 500 people party, right? Like in the mainland, you graduate from your PhD, maybe 1-2 people go with you, right? You can have to go dinner with them, right? But over there, yes, they're very, right? Really, the attitude is very good, but eating habit is not good. Eating habit is not good, right? So, yes. So when I'm over there, I need to exercise more. Right? Exercise more. So, oh, where are we? Oh, yeah. So, the first thing we must reign on is ourselves. So, in other words, if you have no self-control, playing video games, don't play video games. If you have no self-control on the internet, you should not be on the internet. As simple as that. But the day that you build that self-control, in the sense that you have control over these things, for me, right, I share with you for the last week, you know that I love sports, right? I used to be crazy for sports. Because I'm from Boston, right? I mean, all the great teams from Boston, right? Right? Come on, you must admit it, right? The last 4 years, 11, right, championship, right? Come on, more, five more than any other state, right? Oh, okay, useless information. But I love sports. But now, sports does not take over me, right? The only time I watch the Celtics when in the playoffs, and that's quite often, and the Patriots too, right? I'm just joking. But no, what I'm saying that before I need to watch every game, right? Especially football, right? Every game. And basketball, every game, right? And even hockey, right? But now I don't care anymore. Not because I don't like it. I still like it, but I have self-control, right? Quite often, even, you know, if they're in the playoffs, I still don't need to watch it, right? Just like I was in Hawaii when the Celtics were playing, right? I don't really need to watch it, right? That is self-control. But it took me 12 years to get to this point, right? So the same thing for all of you, right? You must have discipline and self-control. If you have no self-control and discipline, there's no way you can separate yourself from the things of this world. Because everything in this world is doo-doo, really. There's not too many things that we do. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Yeah. Not too many things that we can do in this world, right? That is pure and holy. It's only from God that everything is pure and holy. So that's why I spend more time. Yes, you can play half an hour video game. Serve the net half an hour, right? If you like a TV, buy a TV. Whatever. We're not under control of anything. Because we are kings. Reign over all these things, right? Sisters, right? Shopping and stuff, right? You guys have no problem buying clothes and stuff, right? No big deal you go to the mall or not, right? Right, sister? Yeah, see? Good, right? No big deal, right? If you don't need something, you don't need to buy it, right? If you want something, you buy it, really. Don't deprive yourself, right? One day you get a job, you make a lot of money, you want to buy a BMW, go ahead. God bless you, right? It's good. But make sure this BMW doesn't cause you problems, right? Just like a brother I know, right? He bought a BMW and this SUV, right? I don't know, X5, X6, one of those things, right? It's quite expensive, right? So he shared with me, because he sold it, I asked him, hey, why did you sell your BMW, right? See, what happened, day and night, always think about his BMW, right? Because before, he used to go to the mall, right? No problem. He have, you know, I think he have, I don't know what kind of car he has, but before, right? He parked anywhere, it's not a problem. But now with his BMW, he had to park very far from the entrance, right? Why? Because he's afraid to park next to the other people's car, they open the door and ding his door, right? And then when he parked away from the entrance, then of course there's no shade. Because the sun is always hitting his car, right? And his car is black, right? So then he's afraid the sun gonna ruin his leather, right? Then what did he do? He parked underneath a tree. And what happened when you park underneath a tree? Yes, the birds would doo-doo on it, right? And there's some sap or something from the tree, right? Then has no real, he cannot go to the mall anymore. Just leave his car in the garage, that's pretty much it, right? Of course, if you have this kind of problem, then don't buy the BMW, right? So anything that we do should not control us. When you watch TV, after half an hour later, we turn it off, it's good, right? It's no big deal. Anything we do is like this. This means to sanctify ourselves, separate ourselves from the people in this world. That's how we know we are filled with the Word of God. Second one, Hebrews. Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and joint of their hearts. Verse 13. And there's no hidden creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So when we are filled with the Word of God, the word that we speak should be able to penetrate people's hearts, right? I see when I studied psychology for many years, right? Because that's what I study in school. But to know people's heart is something else, right? It's so difficult to understand people. One day they can act like this, the other day they can act, you know, some other way. But when we are filled with God's Word, our Word that we speak will touch people's heart. This is very important. So in other words, if we're in the front line, right? And we're in the front line and we're seeing someone has been dragged in by an enemy, which is Satan, right? Being killed by Satan. So we must have the Word to speak to them so they themselves can come out of there. It's interesting, right? When we fight against Satan, the reason we feel to be captive, or you know, people we know being captive, not because Satan has the power over them, but we are the one is weak. If we choose not to go with Satan, Satan cannot do anything about it. But the problem is that we are born in sin. Because we're born in sin, that's why Satan uses sin to entice us. But if our words, just like a two-edged sword, right? So sharp, and this sword, every time we speak, we will to pierce the vision of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discern of the thought and intent of the heart, and if nothing can be hidden from us. In other words, when we look at a person, we will know, right? How they feel. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, many times. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not a psychic. But he's filled with the Spirit of God. So whatever men say, whatever men think, he understood exactly what's going on. This is what it means to be filled with the Word of God. Then when he speaks, even though his words are so simple, but it pierced people's heart. Remember, right? The Pharisee and the high priest sent a soldier to arrest Jesus, right? And they came back empty-handed, right? And then the high priest asked, why didn't you arrest him? What did they say? Remember, anyone? Remember, right? When they came back, the soldier came back empty-handed. And then the high priest asked, why? Where's the one supposed to arrest? And they answered them what? Anyone? Anyone? Is that? Yes. It's very interesting, right? They responded, no one ever spoke like this man. What's that going to do arresting him? Right? But because his word was so eloquent, when he speak, pierced their heart. And that's why they must know, he must be the Messiah. That's why they could not arrest him. So our word should be the same thing, right? We should have this kind of word. But Satan also have his mouth. He also will speak things that defile us. But when we are filled with God's word, everything we speak out. Right? If you listen to pastor when they give sermons and stuff like that, right? Very rarely, right? That they speak things that's not in the Bible. If you know the Bible well, you listen to them, almost 90% of the sermon, everything is from the Bible. The other 10%, maybe it's not from the Bible because they tell stories, right? Or testimonies. But everything else is always from the Bible. This means their thought, their heart is consumed with the Word of God. Just like King David. And look at Solomon, right? He was full of wisdom. How many psalms or how many songs did he write? Did he wrote? Anybody know? This one song is the Song of Song. Which one is that? Which song is the Song of Song? Oh, the Song of Song is the Song of Song, right? Right, the Song of Solomon is the Song of Song, right? But how many he have written? How many? Anybody know? Anybody? 1,005, right? Where did it say that? First Kings chapter what? Huh? Chapter 4, verse 32, right? 1,005, can you imagine that? Right? For sure that Solomon is filled, right, with the Word of God. Can you imagine nowadays, right? 1,005 songs. Anybody you know they've written this much? Like Elvis, he's the king of rock and roll, right? Elvis. You guys know Elvis? Or too, you guys too young? You guys too young? You guys should know Elvis, right? He's the king of rock and roll, right? Right? I like Elvis. He's one of my favorite singers. Elvis, how many songs have you written? Actually, I don't even know any song he has written. All the songs he sang from somebody else, you understand? Right? They wrote for him. What about Michael Jackson, right? They're all dead, both of them, right? Right? It's the way life is, right? You're famous one day, the next day you're in hell. What are you going to do, right? What about Michael Jackson? Right? He's the king of pop, right? King of rock and roll, king of pop. Now they're all gone already, right? Actually, he wrote some songs, but not too many. So in other words, if you're filled with the Word of God, we are full of wisdom. Really, brothers, if you really want to capture a sister's heart, you read the Bible. Because the Bible is full of wisdom. When you talk, right, your word be so sweet, right? When you talk to the sister, if you're hearing your words, they already have cavity already, right, in their mouth, right? That's how sweet it is, right? You understand, right? Really. You know, quite often my wife is mad at me, I just quote her from I say something from the Bible, and she starts laughing, right? Really? Right? Why? Because the Bible is so beautiful, right? And many of you know that I love Ruth, right? I mean, I not love Ruth, but what she said, right? I always quote it. Why? Because that is the most beautiful psalm, right? Can you imagine, brother, you say to one of the sisters, right? You engage with her, right? Don't say it before that, right? Only when you engage with her, you marry her, right? Entreat me not to leave you. Can you imagine that, right? You're like, oh, of course not, right? No, really, the Bible can give us so much wisdom, right? Because in IHTS, you're talking about true love, right? And then I search, you know, what it means to have true love, right? And they say all the stupid things, right? True love, right? One guy, what does it mean to be true love? It means, you know, true love is to drink a whole bottle of Coca-Cola, right? Just to stay up to think about her. Because Coca-Cola have a lot of caffeine, you know, stay up, think about her, right? So really, when I look for the definition of true love, there's nothing inside at all, right? But come back to the Bible, true love, right? Can you imagine true love? That was long. Hey, what kind of true love is that, right? Be all things, right? Believe all things, hope all things, and do all things. This is love, right? So really, if you want to be eloquent, read the Bible. Anything else that you read, like for school, that's you know, it's okay, right? But if you don't have to read for school, you don't need to read it, right? Just read the Bible. Because the Bible, everything you want to know about life, if you want to be eloquent, you want to speak so sweetly, it's all in the Bible. Everything is in the Bible, right? But the problem is, we don't read enough. We don't read enough. You know, sometimes my wife, you know, because, you know, I travel to many different places, and it's hard to tell different stories all the time, right? Especially now you get, you know, e-library and stuff, so everybody downloads your sermon to listen and stuff like that. So everywhere you go, you need new stories, right? I'm sure my nieces hear the same story for many times already, right? So she asked me, why don't you read some of those, you know, books, right? It has like thousand stories, touching stories, stuff like that. One time I was sitting down, I was reading like 100 different stories. Not one I can find, right? Then I continue to read, I cannot find anything. Even I find one out of those thousand stories, I had to make up my own, right? In a sense that I make up my own story, to go with this story. But the Bible, so many beautiful stories. Right? It's really amazing. Really amazing. So read the Bible more, right? So a sword can be like double-edged sword. But what is double-edged sword good for? I see. When we preach the gospel, it's very important. Just like I share with you, what time this period end? 3:10, 5 minutes. So I shared with you earlier that when I first came to know Jesus Christ, I didn't know the Bible well at all. Right? So this time I was preaching to my co-worker. And for me, I just had the faith that they need to be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. That's all I knew. So I was preaching to them. And I taught them how to pray. And then one time, this is what I'm trying to share with you. Right? If we know the Word of God, it doesn't matter how much we know. It's how deep we know it. And how much faith we, you know, go with what we know. So during the time when I was sharing with them, of course, I invited them to church many times, and they never came to church. One time, one of them had some kind of liver failure. So she went into the hospital. And when she was in the hospital, she's Buddhist, right? She's a devout Buddhist. When she was in the hospital, laying there, dying, she cannot drink water, and she cannot, of course, cannot eat solid food. And she was waiting for a transplant, right, the next Sunday. And while she was in the hospital, when she was sleeping, often a voice came to her and said to her, right, said to her in Cambodian, right, get up and pray. And of course, for all these years, she's in her 40s. All these years, she said, get up and pray. She must pray to Buddha, right? But this time when the boy said, get up and pray, she knew exactly for her to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because all these times, I was sharing with them how they should pray. But the time she had a roommate with her, so she took her ID and everything, right? Got out of bed, and she went to the bathroom. And she prayed in the bathroom. And as she prayed, she felt, this is what she shared with me. She knows nothing about our church. She knows nothing about, you know, how we should feel when we see, when the Holy Spirit moves us. But during the time she shared, when she was in the bathroom, she said, hallelujah. That's all she did was say, hallelujah. And she felt this power came to her head and came to her body and healed her. That's what she said. That's what she felt like. So then she went back to a room the next morning. She said, I'm thirsty, I want something to drink. The doctor said, no, you cannot drink. And she said, yes, I can drink. She drank. The doctor was so amazed. What happened to you last night? Not only that, and then she ate solid food. And the doctor was completely amazed. And that following Sunday, she would go have some kind of transplant, something like that. Then thank God, one of the ministers visited us. Then we went to visit her in the hospital. He prayed for her. Sunday morning, they did all the checkup, everything, before she go to surgery. She was completely healed from everything. That's what we're talking about. The Word of God, why it's so sharp? Because it lasts forever. It endures forever. So even though it preached to her 3-4 months already, but she did not believe. But during that time, when she needed God the most, God, show her his mercy. She was completely healed. And during the time she was so excited, she wanted to come to church. But her husband was a devout Buddhist, so he forbade her from reading the Bible. So she used to be, you know, go to the bathroom and read the Bible and things like that, right? But after several months, she cannot endure it anymore, in the sense that then her family also started to tell her, don't think that Jesus is the one that healed you. We also pray to Buddha, right? And we burn incense to Buddha. And Buddha also the one that healed you. He is the one that healed you. But of course, for her, she knew 100% sure that it was not Buddha that healed her, but our Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, it doesn't matter, right, how long our sword is. Whatever sword, the sword that we have must be sharp. Must be sharp. That's what's important. In olden days, don't think that our members know so much about the Bible. All they know, if you are baptized, you are saved. You receive the Holy Spirit, you are saved. And this is what they preach. But this preaching turned the world upside down. Actually, you think about the New Testament, right? What Paul had written, what James and what Peter. Why did they written that? Why? Because a lot of members have no idea this mystery. But for us, we can see it very clearly. But what we need to have is faith that go with what we believe. So when we preach, and the sword that we use is just like a double-edged sword. Let's go ahead and pray now.